There was a time around the year 2003, before e-books and e-readers, when it seemed that everywhere you turned, in an airport, on a bus, anywhere people read, people were reading The Kite Runner. It was an epic tale set in Afghanistan, and it sold more than 7 million copies in the U.S. and was translated into over 40 languages. It catapulted the man who wrote it, Khalid Hosseini, onto the global literary stage. Hosseini followed that success with another about his homeland, A Thousand Splendid Sons. That, too, became a bestseller. And now, 6 years later, he has written another heart-wrenching tale. Yes, it is also set in Afghanistan, but the narrative extends to California, Paris, even the Greek islands. Khalid Hosseini joins me now from Stanford, California. Welcome to the program, Mr. Hosseini.
Hi, Rachel. How are you?
I'm well. Nice to have you on the show. At its core, your latest book is really a story about family, one family in particular. And the tale begins with a couple of characters named Abdullah and Perry. Can you introduce us to them?
Yeah, it begins in 1952. Abdullah and Perry. Abdullah is 10, Perry is 3. And they're living in a remote and impoverished village with their father and their stepmother and their baby stepbrother. And the family finds itself at a critical point. They've lost a baby to the winter the year before, and winter is around the corner again, and the family is desperate to survive the winter. And they're about to make a decision that's going to change the lives of these two characters, Abdullah and Perry. And it's this decision which ends up splitting the brother and sister, which then forms really the heart of the book.
I wonder if you could read us a passage from the book near the beginning. This is after this separation has occurred. Abdullah and Perry have been split up, and Abdullah is wishing he could just forget that he ever even knew her so that the pain would be lessened.
Abdullah would find himself on a spot where Perry had once stood, her absence like a smell pushing up from the earth beneath his feet, and his legs would buckle, and his heart would collapse in on itself. Perry hovered, unbidden, at the edge of Abdullah's vision everywhere he went. She was like the dust that clung to his shirt. She was in the silences that had become so frequent at the house. Silences that welled up between their words, sometimes cold and hollow, sometimes pregnant with things that went unsaid, like a cloud filled with rain that never fell. Some nights, he dreamed that he was in the desert again, alone, surrounded by the mountains, and in the distance, a single tiny glint of light flicking on, off, like a message.
There is a lot in this story about the power of memory and dreams, thoughts, how we try to control them, how we lose control, how those mental impressions shape our reality. What was it about that idea that captured your own imagination, made it into something you wanted to explore in this book?
Well, in some ways, I see the characters in this book, as with all of us in real life, as victims of the passage of time. And memory is the way with which we gauge that. So memory is a recurring theme in this book, and the question is raised a number of times about whether memory is a blessing, something that safeguards, you know, all the things that are dear to you, or is memory a curse, you know, something that makes you relive the most painful parts of your life, the toil, the struggle, the sorrows.
You've just introduced us to two of the central characters, these siblings, but from there you take the reader into the lives of a lot of other people in this family, connected directly and tangentially over a lifetime of experience, each story kind of feeding into the next. And as a reader, you're not really sure what's going to happen on the next page. When the next chapter comes, whose perspective will be revealed? Did the story just emerge to you that way, or was this a more deliberate decision?
It kind of happened that way as I wrote it. The novel began very, very small. And it began with a single image in my head that I simply could not shed. And it was the image of a man walking across the desert. And he's pulling a little radio flyer red wagon. And in it, there's a little girl, about 3, years old, and there's a boy walking behind him. And these three people are walking across the desert. And I had no idea who they were or why they were walking across the desert, what the story was behind them, what their dynamic was. And I sat down to explore that. And then it just kept snowballing. I began to see backstory, and I began to see how what happened to these three characters, particularly the little boy and the little girl, would have such profound impact, not only on their life, but on the lives of so many different characters. And I went and I listened to the voice of those other characters, and I went chasing them.
I would imagine it's also hard to know when to stop then, if you're always writing the next echo. How do you mm-hmm. know? How do you know when it's done? I know that's kind of a cliched question, but especially because of the way you've structured this, did it just feel finished?
No. I would love to go back and write two, three, or four, or five more, but at some point, somebody has to stop you. You know, and none of my novels feel finished to me. I mean, if I had my way, I'd go back and add and edit and take out and reshape. But at some point, you do have to stop.
I'd like to talk a little bit about Afghanistan, which is the mm-hmm. setting for your work. And Afghanistan's own political chaos, and particularly life under the Taliban, has been a central feature of your other two books. Mm-hmm. It is not the case with this story. I mean, there are references to it, but the narrative itself does not revolve around this.
No.
How did that come to be?
Part of it was, as I wrote the characters, it just kind of the way they came to me and the way they were shaped, their struggles turned out to be far more intimate and personal. I mean, often it had to do with loss of memory, of faculty, of love. And so the impact of the toil in Afghanistan is still there, but I think its effect on the lives of the characters is less resounding. I hope a day will come when we write about Afghanistan where we can speak about Afghanistan in a context outside of the wars and the struggles of the last 30 years. In some way, I think this book is an attempt to do that.
Your first book, The Kite Runner, is about fathers and sons, and A Thousand Splendid Sons, your second, is mostly about mothers and daughters. This book seems bigger. I mean, yes, there's the central relationship about Abdullah and Perry, the sibling relationship, and there are other siblings, but it extends to different kinds of relationships. Can you talk a little bit about this progression for you?
Well, I think at core, all three of my books have been love stories. And they haven't been traditional love stories in the sense that a romantic love story between a man and a woman. You know, there have been stories of love between characters where you would not expect love to be found. So it's always these intense relationships that form under very unexpected circumstances. And it's the same with this book. There are a number of instances where you have relationships between characters that are very intense and life-changing, and yet they're between people you would not expect it to happen. And for some reason, I'm drawn to that. I love writing about that. I'm not very interested in writing about sort of traditional romantic love, I think. You know, that's something that is in my books, but not one that I seem to be all that interested in.
What has this journey been like for yourself to have had these... Kite Runner was such this huge success and Thousand Splendid Sons after it. Do you put more pressure on yourself now to meet that standard every time?
I don't feel any pressure to be, quote-unquote, successful in economic or commercial or number of books sold and so on. The real angst comes from the very real possibility that one day I will sit and I will have nothing more to say, because I enjoy so much the process of writing, losing myself in another person's life and kind of going off to these imaginary places and looking up from the computer and 8 hours have passed and I have no idea where they went, and writing things that to me feel intimate and real and genuine. I don't take that for granted.
Khaled Hosseini, his latest novel is called And the Mountains Echoed. He joined us from Stanford, California. Mr. Hosseini, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Much appreciated.
You can find an excerpt of "And the Mountains Echoed" on our website, npr.org. You're listening to Weekend Edition from NPR News.